May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. Hymn 981.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, firstly from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, part of chapter 31. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice in their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children should come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel. Turn again to these, thy cities. We'll turn now to the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 11. Hosea, chapter 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baalim and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on the jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them, because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord, he shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, Do grant that much needed reverence and godly fear, living faith to come to thee now in sincerity. Let it not be lip service, Lord. Do, blessed Spirit of truth, prompt us in our very hearts to call upon God in the name of his Son. Lord, we come confessing our utter unworthiness of any of thy notice except to destroy us. And we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst, for the glory of thy name, even come and visit us this night with thy salvation. Thou wouldst send thy Spirit down. Oh, that day of Pentecost, Lord, when thou didst pour out thy Spirit, it was upon a city that was sunk to a low ebb in sin. It was to Jerusalem first that didst command the gospel to be preached. And here we are, Lord. We cannot throw a stone at any, for we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We confess with shame our many and grievous backslidings, heart wanderings, idolatry, lust, rebellion, stiff-neckedness, covetousness, worldliness, deceitfulness, unbelief, hardness of heart, unprofitableness. Lord, save us, we beseech thee. Forsake us not. But oh, cleanse us. Cleanse us thoroughly from our iniquity. Purge us from our sins. Oh, might it please thee to do this even this evening. If it be thy holy will and it be thy set time. Oh, at least that thou wouldst speak to our souls with thy power, whatever thou seest is right and proper concerning our condition. Lord, that the dead might be quickened, the careless might tremble, the trembling might rejoice, the weary might be strengthened, to assemble her that halteth, and Lord, gather in her that is cast out, and seek thy sheep, Lord, that have been driven away in the dark and cloudy day. Bring them, Lord, and feed them in upon the mountains of Israel in a good pasture. Lord, do grant thy thirsty flock a draught of living water, even as thou didst speak of it to the woman at the well, and to those her fellows who came out to thee. Lord, oh, we pray to be among the favoured number, to whom the Saviour is sent. Almighty God, the Father, do send thy Son by the power of thy Spirit to us this night. Reveal him to us. Lord, grant help in the ministry. Who is sufficient for these things? We are not. Oh, we pray to be our sufficiency in speaking and in hearing. Bless the friends. Hear their petitions. Help us each to pray on, but not to put our trust in our prayers. Lord, grant us the prayer of expectation. Not expecting to be saved because we've prayed, but saved because thou in thy mercy would answer. Thou said that thou wilt regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Lord, that is the prayer of each of thy people. Thy people are a poor and afflicted and a destitute people. Lord, we pray, save us from this destitution. Grant us the exceeding riches of thy grace. Lord, whatever we have to lose, oh, grant that we may not lose our soul. We may, in being given Christ, lose everything, but gain everything. Lose everything that is worthless. And Lord, comparatively speaking, everything but thee is worthless. Thou art that pearl of great price. So make us willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy sake. And at last to beware, Jesus is, our Jesus is. Remember afflicted ones. We pray for thy presence and help. Do go before each one. Some have mountains before them, Lord, with regard to their afflictions. And Lord, we all have the mountain of death before us. Oh, we pray, do go before us. Lord, we thank thee for that truth, that when thou dost put forth thy sheep, thou dost go before them. Lord, oh, may we be among thy sheep who have such a blessed, such a complete, such a faithful, an almighty, merciful and gracious shepherd. Bless thy church here and everywhere. May thy name be glorified here. May sinners be saved here. Do take the word, Lord, and speak it with power. It may yet please thee through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, but do save us from foolish preaching. Lord, that preaching of thy Holy Spirit, which is foolishness to the flesh, and the enemy mocks it, ridicules thy servants and those that sit under it, because it is not of the wisdom of this world. Oh, we do pray to be saved from the wisdom of this world. We've got it in us, Lord, and its foolishness. Give us to see it in its real light. Oh, we mourn, Lord, that we keep trying to find wisdom in ourselves and in our fellow men, when thou hast told us that thou art wisdom. Lord, we pray, oh, still be patient with us, and do make thyself increasingly to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Grant thy healing, restoring mercy where it is thy holy will. We pray for this people. Lord, we're all naked and open. As we sit or stand in this congregation this evening, nothing is hidden from thee. Oh, if it might please thee, may we each be given to realize this and tremble as the hymn writer did. How foul and black I must appear, most holy God, to thee. But oh, favour us to know what he went on to say. But since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen as I approach to God. Lord, restore us, we pray. Lord, build again the walls of Jerusalem. Grant the hedges again may grow up. Grant the boar out of the wood might be turned out of the city, back into the wood. And Lord, grant godly fear. Grant a real heart returning to thee, to thy book, the Word of God. Not just in the holding of it in the head, but the believing of it in the heart and the walking out of it in the life. Oh, to appear for thy people in the great conflict. Lord, oh, do make bare thine arm for thy people. Lord, thou hast said wonderfully to thy people. But we believe when thou didst say it to Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah, it was a word to all thy people, but we need it spoken individually to us. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle, for the battle is not yours but God's. Oh, we thank thee for that. But Lord, we've got such foolish hearts. And we try to fight the battle ourselves. And Lord, we are defeated. Lord, forgive us this sin. And Lord, mercifully, make us weak enough to be overcomers through the blood of the Lamb alone. Have mercy also upon our nation. Restrain the evil that runs down our streets like floods of water. Overrule those in government. We pray for our King and Prime Minister, they might be taught of thee. Lord, that they might be brought to know thee, to fear thee. But Lord, that whatever thy will in this, thou wast overrule all the rulers of this world. Art thou not King of kings and Lord of lords? O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst reign over us and overrule the men of this world, scatter those that delight in war. Protect the children, the young people from those that are seeking to so forcibly teach evil, wicked things. Lord, do deliver them and keep them, we pray, in each one of us. Save us each from the snares of this day and the technology, Lord, and the media. Oh, we pray, deliver us. Oh, let thy love sufficient prove, let thy grace sufficient prove, that sin do not have dominion over us. Oh, do thou have that blessed dominion over us. We beseech thee. Prepare us each for all thy will. Prepare us to be with thee, Lord. It's beyond anything we can comprehend or speak. But thou art that infinite God that doest the incomprehensible. Lord, we pray in thy mercy, do it for us. Bring us to that place where we shall see thee as thou art, and be like unto thee. Crown thee, Lord of all. Lord, help us now in a few things. Be mouth, matter, and wisdom to us. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We thank thee for all thy goodness to us, especially thy unspeakable gift. Thou didst not spare thine own son. Lord, we plead his name. Ask all in that worthy and precious name. Amen.
Hymn 672. Jesus, I long for thee, and sigh for Canaan's shore, thy lovely face to see, and all my warfare o'er. Here billows break upon my breast, and brooding sorrows steal my rest. Hymn 672.
Thank you.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, reading verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Perhaps there were those here this morning that heard as we tried to consider that well-known verse, John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you left the service feeling, oh, that I could be sure he loved me. Well, that's the exercise that I have had in venturing to name this text this evening. But of course, only the Lord can assure you, child of God, of his love. And Jeremiah here testifies of how he had done so in his own experience. You know, one of the wonderful things about the Word of God, and there are many, but one of the wonderful things is the testimony of the Lord's people, of what the Lord has done for them, what he has said to them. This is one of the things which makes the Word of God precious to the seeker. The one that is seeking the Lord as their Saviour, seeking deliverance from their guilt and ruin, and in their life's pathway, those deliverances from those things, seeking an answer to those questions that begin to rise up in their soul from the time of the new birth. You remember the Queen of Sheba, she heard of all the glory of Solomon and all his wondrous works, and she came to him and put to him all her hard questions, and he answered them. You see, her experience, poor seeking sinner here this evening, a greater than Solomon is here in the preaching of Christ. I was reading recently of the early experience of a godly Scots minister, Angus Smith. And in his young days, he was sitting under the gospel and feeling his heart so hard and unable to believe what was being preached to him. Unable to feel anything really in his heart other than to find he cannot feel anything. And he said, as the man was preaching, I found myself speaking to the Lord and telling him how I was feeling under this preaching. Pouring out my case before him in all its dreadfulness, in all its impossibility. And he speaks of the Lord coming in his power and delivering him. So that under the preaching of the gospel, I don't know that it was that time, but on another occasion, he felt completely different. The Lord, you see, had appeared. The Lord had appeared, and this is what Jeremiah says here, doesn't he? He said, the Lord hath appeared. It may seem, child of God, such a long time. You've been waiting for him to appear. But his promise is, the Lord shall appear unto you. To them that fear my name, he says, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The promise is that everyone that seeks him shall find him. The promise that none that wait on him shall be ashamed. It is a proof of the reality of the work of grace in a person. When nothing less than the appearing of the Lord unto them can deliver them. You remember that word in Isaiah 49? Well, let me remind you of it. When Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me. And he says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. As I was meditating a little upon this text, my mind went to that day when those women, early at the sepulchre, found the tomb empty. And the angel of the Lord there, those shining garments. And what a wonderful message the risen Christ had given them to speak to those women. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as I have told you. And of course, as Jesus had told them before his death. When I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee. And as they followed the direction of the servant of the Lord, that angel, Jesus met them. The promise that he would appear unto them. As they walked in that path they had set before them, the promise is fulfilled. He appeared unto them, risen Christ. Well, Jeremiah had the same blessed person reveal himself unto him. The Lord hath appeared unto me. He hath appeared of old, or as the margin puts it, from the original Hebrew language, from afar. But let us look at this of old. He is the eternal God. The Lord that appears today unto his people is the eternal God. And as we were saying just now, the word of God, that eternal word, and it goes back, doesn't it, right to the beginning of time in its account of creation and so on. And above all, that setting forth of that everlasting love of God. And you see, when the Lord appears unto his people today, it's of old. Firstly, then, it's the eternal God. This is no new thought that he is making known to his people. It's the eternal thought of God. It's the eternal will of God. Jesus speaking under the name of wisdom in Proverbs 8. He says of old, before those people, many of those people, in fact, indeed, before any of them were born, he said his delights were with the sons of men. He rejoiced in the habitable part of his earth, and his delights were with them. It's from of old. But then also there's this. You see, if you have the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, it's the same work as has been wrought by the Spirit in the hearts of his people right from the beginning. When the spouse in the Song of Solomon asks the beloved where he feeds and where he makes his flock to rest at noon, he says to her, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. The Lord hath appeared of old. And perhaps he has used the word which he spoke to a child of God thousands of years ago, and he's spoken it to you. You know, the Lord does that, both with regard to New Testament words and Old Testament words, from of old. But then if we look for a moment at the original Hebrew of this word, and look at it as in the interpretation from afar. Of course, it is the same meaning, really, but a different connotation upon the word. Oh, you know, when the Lord appears unto his people, he appears unto them from afar. There is none like the God of Jeshurun and that rideth upon the heaven in his help. And when he appears unto you from afar, he comes right where you are. The church prays for this, doesn't it? When she prays, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. You say this evening, my case is a hard case. Yes, and so is mine. But it's not too hard for the Lord. Behold, he said to Jeremiah on another occasion, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You see, a ministry that just comes from a man won't touch your case. But when God appears to you, and it may be through a minister, and it may not be, the word has come right from heaven. Right from the court of heaven, God has sent his Spirit down with a word right into your case, right into your heart. He's appeared of old or from afar. Ah, my dear friend, your case and mine, whether we realise it or not tonight, But the child of God, when the Holy Spirit is at work, they do realize it. Oh, it needs a ministry from heaven. It needs God. It needs God. Why? As we were considering this morning, God spared not his own son. How it sets forth the absolute ruin of the human race. How it sets forth, my dear friend, the absolute impossibility of there being any remedy found from anywhere on this earth and from within yourself. What does dear Joseph Hart say in that hymn on the brazen serpent? He says this, death's within thee, all about thee, but the remedy's without thee. See it in the Saviour's precious blood. The blood of the God-man. That blessed man, that glorious man that hung on Calvary's cross is the Creator. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, say. You see, when he appeared to Jeremiah, it was in speaking. It was in speaking. This is how he does appear unto his people. Through his word. By his word. You remember in John 6, where Jesus taught the solemn and yet most blessed truth that we must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, or else we have no life in us. And the disciples are trying to put a natural interpretation upon it, saying things like, oh, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? And Jesus immediately conveyed to them the truth that he hadn't meant anything by those words which could be grasped, comprehended, entered into at all in the way they were thinking. And he said it like this, what, and if ye should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before with these eyes, if you had been there when the Son of Man ascended up into heaven. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. This then is the Holy Spirit's teaching in this word of Jeremiah for us tonight. We are to look for the Lord's appearing as he speaks, as he testifies of himself. Oh, have you got a case this evening, my dear friend? And this is the way you're seeking the Lord, that he would speak concerning that case. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy foundations with sapphires. I'll make thy windows of agates, thy gates of carbuncles. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. He hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, the Lord's yea. In that word we have firstly something similar to what we read in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, The Lord's yea. Paul, when he was speaking of the gospel that by the Lord's help he'd preached to the people, he said our gospel was not yea and nay. What does he mean by that? He means that when the gospel is preached, which indeed says yea, there is nothing that can come against that yea and say nay. You see, people will preach, will believe that God loves the world, but the nay in their ministry and their beliefs is this: but you have got to love him to taste that love of his. They preach the yea of the salvation, the redemption of the church by the finished work of Christ. They preach the blessed doctrine of the cross, but then they say nay. Oh, Christ died for sinners on the cross. But if you will not believe him, you will perish in your sins. But Paul said our gospel was not yea and nay. If God loves you with an everlasting love, when he says yea, whatever enmity is in your heart against him, and whatever enmity at any time in your soul rises up against him, he will overcome it. The love of God to his church is as strong as death. It was so strong that God the Father made his son to be sin for his people. It was so strong that his son went to that cross, declined no load, nor any suffering. The cup that my father's given me, shall I not drink it? And Paul takes it up like this, doesn't he? And it's in this preaching of the cross, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And truly, if Christ died for you, by that death, he put away your sin of unbelief and every other one. And by the Holy Spirit's matchless love, that will be made known in your soul. Thy people, says Psalm 110, will be willing in the day of thy power. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, yea. But then, I want to look at this word yea in another way. The Lord's yea to the prayer of his people. Do you ever pray to the Lord? Lord, dost thou love me? Have I a portion in thy love? Do you have to, as you make that petition, confess that there's nothing in you that could possibly cause him to love you? Will you ask him, Lord, tell me, dost thou love me? Am I loved of thee? Am I one of thy Jacobs whom thou dost love? Well, here is the answer spoken to Jeremiah. Or may it be spoken to those whose prayers I've just outlined, or the substance of them. You think of that woman in the house of Simon. She was there because the Lord loved her. He says to Simon, she loved much. It was that love that had drawn her to his feet. It was that love that had turned her from her former, apparently very recent, gross outward sin, such as he was a notorious sinner in the city. But oh, how she came with the question, really. Lord, my sins, canst thou forgive them? My past, Lord, canst thou blot it out? Oh, my former enmity against thee, canst thou forgive it? Dost thou love me? And how he wonderfully appeared unto her. Woman, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. Yea, yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have. You see, when you seeking sinner are asking these things of the Lord, when you are seeking these things, you know, as you are taught by the Spirit, that you are not asking God to begin to love you. You know, do you not, that the people whom he loves, he has loved from everlasting. There is no question of you changing his mind, so that he who formerly didn't love you would begin to love you. What you're asking for is that he might make known to you that he has ever loved you. This is what he says here to Jeremiah, I have. He doesn't say I do, I have. But of course that includes the do, and it includes the will. I have loved you, I do love you, I will love you, Jeremiah, for everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. I have loved thee. And of course, this statement, it brings forth the eternity of that love in this sense. And this is the thing, my dear friend. The settlements of Jehovah in the everlasting covenant. Nothing that his people could do could make him love them, for he'd already loved them from all eternity. But here is the most precious thing. Nothing that they ever did could cause him to cease to love them. The cause of love is in himself, and that cause of love is so great, it is infinite, because he is the infinite God. Your sins, though they rose up, my dear friend, like mountains, they are beyond recounting, and they're awful sins, they're heinous sins. There's sins against his law and against his grace. Remember the context in which Jeremiah is the prophet of the Lord. Israel and Judah have sinned grievously. They turned to God the back and not the face. And in speaking to Jeremiah, God is speaking to his elect people in Israel and Judah, and his elect people in the Gentiles as well, because it's part of the inspired word of God to the whole world. I have loved thee. I have loved thee. With an everlasting love. An everlasting love. Not as the world the Saviour loved. He is no fickle friend. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. How could his love change when he is unchangeable? How could his love only last a little while when he is immutable, the eternal God? How could his love change when the cause of it is in himself? Since he loves you, child of God, because he will love you, not loves you because you've done this and that and the other, but loves you despite you having done this and that and the other, it is an everlasting love. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Couple of reasons why I felt inclined to read with you also that 11th chapter of Hosea. And the Lord says there in a similar context with regard to the treacherous adultery, spiritual adultery of his people. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I make thee as Admah and Zeboim? You cannot give them up. Cannot give them up. It's an everlasting love that he has. This is the rock foundation. The Son of God is the very manifestation of the love of God to his church. On this rock will I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. An everlasting love. You last the whole of your life here on earth. Through to death. That blessed person, the dear Mr. Senek, writes of in hymn 144, Jesus, by all to heaven is gone. You see that everlasting love in the track that dear Mr. Senek said he saw. What did he see in every step that the Lord Jesus had taken before him? He saw the love of God. And that love was a lasting love, wasn't it? Those beautiful words at the beginning of John 13. Jesus, knowing that the hour was come, that he should return to his Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And how was that so clearly manifest? How treacherously these people whom he loved dealt with him. One of them denies him with oaths and curses. I know not the man. They all forsake him and flee. He loved them to the end. He knew Peter would sin. He had covenanted to bear that sin. But think of it, my dear friend. Oh, the Lord bless us with faith in our thoughts. There might be believing thoughts given unto us. Think of it. When he heard Peter denying him with oaths and curses, he knew in a few hours he was going to have to suffer for those sins. He was going to have to suffer for Peter's curses. And I believe when he turned and looked upon Peter, Peter felt something of it himself. For we read he went out and wept bitterly. There was love in that look. I have prayed for thee, he said, that thy faith fail not. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Through all those changing scenes of time. Perhaps there are those here this evening, and you are now in a path you haven't trod before. Like Joshua said to the Israelites, you've not passed this way heretofore. But remember who it was met Joshua. As he looked upon those high walls of Jericho, the Lord himself. He told Joshua, as captain of the Lord's hosts, am I now come. Why? He loves his people. Those walls of Jericho, whatever they may be in your soul's experience or life's pathway, this love of his which is everlasting will bring those walls down. That high mountain, because of his love to you, child of God, it will be made a plain. That word I mentioned from the Gospels, he goeth before you into Galilee. That may mean in your life's pathway you have something that you've got to walk through. Galilee, that place where the Lord has said he will meet with you. It may be on a hospital bed. It may be in deep, deep trouble, deep affliction. And it will be with each of us, death itself. But I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And you know, we often in our fears feel that our troubles are a symptom that the Lord doesn't love us. Our unbelief and the devil in his suggestions. They say, well, if the Lord loved you with an everlasting love, he wouldn't be leading you in this path. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And I, in speaking from the word of God this evening and from my own experience, I can say that it's when the Lord leads his people into things, deep waters and fiery furnaces, in those places where the help of man is vain, and we're shown our utter helplessness and ruin, we're brought face to face with our need of a loving God, it's then that the Lord appears. Haven't you had your greatest blessings, child of God, in the deepest depths? As Joseph said to his brethren, Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. An everlasting love, and then beyond the grave. Oh, the wonder of this, everlasting. Is there anything else that's everlasting? No. We get so taken up with things that are perishing, don't we? This love is an everlasting love. And death beyond the grave he'll love. And oh, how, as the hymn writer says it, I think it's Rutherford, love him from an unsinning heart, but it will still be his love that you love him with. Oh, how with delight he will look upon you, child of God. How upon his glorious visage there will be toward you, child of God, nothing but love. And you will feel to him nothing but love. Nothing will come between. Truly then you'll enter into the experience the spouse speaks of when she says his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. Oh, may we know more of that in the lesser sense of it that is known here on this earth by the gift of faith and the felt presence of the Lord, the reality of it. Well, this last sentence in the text, therefore, because I've loved thee with an everlasting love, for that reason alone, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With loving kindness. The two words joined together in one, love and kindness, is a beautiful word, isn't it? There's that hymn 9, his loving kindness, oh how great. You see, we might put it simply like this. His loving kindness is what he actually does to his people because he loves them. If a husband loves his wife, he doesn't only tell her he loves her. He does things which show he loves her. Loving kindness. And oh, what kindness the Lord shows, what loving kindness when he draws his people to himself. That was the other reason I read with you Hosea 11. He says there, I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. What does he mean? Drawing with the cords of a man. He brings his people to love him by revealing to them his Son, the man Christ Jesus. That's the cords of a man, in the first interpretation of it. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. The act of kindness in his love is to send his Son. To make his Son sin for Jeremiah, for Ephraim, for every one of his people. to overcome that enmity of man against him, to reconcile man to himself, to draw man to God. It must be through the mediator. It must be through the blessed God-man. Paul speaks of this. I've already quoted part of the word this evening. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I drew them with the cords of a man. Now, the other side of that word regarding the cords of a man is this. How suitable for poor fallen men is the blessed doctrine of the God-man and all that God required of him and received of him. Therefore, a man who has broken the law, God sends a man, his own son in the flesh, their flesh without sin, to fulfill that law. That's the cause of a man. Drawing the sinner to God. He knows the sinner cannot come to him on the terms of the law that was given at Sinai. The people said, didn't they? Let not God speak to us anymore. And did God say, oh, what a wicked thing for them to say? No. He said the people spake right. A prophet will the Lord their God raise up unto them of their brethren like unto Moses. Him shall they hear. Him shall they hearken unto. I drew them with the cords of a man. Ah, man, that knows something of the indignation of God against sin, and now is set forth the man who knew the whole of it, who endured the curse, who was made the curse, who suffered, who bled, who died on Calvary's cross, drew them with the cords of a man. And as the Lord in his loving kindness says to this sinner, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Oh yes, the sinner is drawn to God. There's a way to God. God himself has made the way. With nothing but need, I can plead him who is given by God as the supply of all the need, a sinner. With nothing but sin, I can plead with God, him who is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. With nothing but weakness, nothing but ruin, I can plead with God, him who is almighty to save. As a defeated sinner, I can plead with God, him who says, I that speak in righteousness, returning from the battle, victorious in his glorious garments. Who are they? Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Therefore, with loving kindness, with the cords of a man, and with the bands of love. The bands of love. Ah, I said this morning, God makes his love a sinner's only hope. Before they know he loves them, they were drawn with the bands of love. You see his love in what he did for sinners of old. You see his love, all that will more of it, in the day in which we live. This is one solemn aspect of the solemn day in which we live, where because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. Where is the man, the woman today? This is a scarce thing, isn't it? That poor seekers can say, oh, I can see the love of God in that man. I can see the love of God in that woman. Where is the one that is able to declare, as Jeremiah did, the Lord hath loved me with an everlasting love? The seeker hears that and pleads that love. So they're drawn to God with the bands of his love. Those bands are unbreakable. Those bands are irresistible. They're drawn away from everything else to him. Am I speaking this evening to a sinner? And you know you're in a wrong place. You know you're in a wrong path. You know you're far off from God. Oh, in our text, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Those bands of his love. You know, nothing but those will pull you out of your sin. Beautiful illustration, isn't it? Jeremiah was cast into the prison. There was that man Ebed-Melech, who was a good man. And he went and spoke to the king concerning Jeremiah. And he gave permission. And they went to the horrible pit where Jeremiah was. He let down those ropes and those old rags and coats for him to put under his arms and pulled him right up out of it. An illustration of the bands of love that pull a sinner up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay of sin. And in the way of the Lord's commandments, we can't move in those ways. But how wonderfully Jeremiah was moved by the Lord in those ways. You think of him with regard to his ministry. And he can't go and preach. He says, I'm but a child. I cannot speak. But the Lord drew him with his loving kindness after him. I remember in my own experience, this word was spoken to me in connection with the ministry. The Lord put me in hospital. An operation, yes, it was what men would call a minor one, but I never had one before. And when I was taken to the room, by the nurse. Oh, she was trying to speak to me, thought perhaps she would cheer me up, but I'm seeking she would leave the room and leave me with my God. And I believe I knew in some measure what Jacob knew at the brook Jabbok. The words came to me and Jacob was left alone. The nurse had gone and there I was. I'd been put in a room on my own. I believe the Lord wrestled with me and I wrestled with him. I had the exercise of the ministry heavy upon me. But you see, I had sinned. The Lord showed me that in his loving kindness, he was drawing me by this affliction, by this that had happened to me. This injury I'd sustained to my hand, requiring surgery. They came and took me to the operating theatre or the preparation room, just before they administered the anaesthetic, the Lord spoke these words to me: I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore. This is the reason why you're where you are. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord brought me through it, and when I woke, the savour of those words was still with me. Remain with me a good many days, and the remembrance of them. How many times, my dear friend, I've had to plead that word with the Lord, and how many times he's proved to me that his is an everlasting love. Drawn to the throne of his grace, in my loving kindness I've laid this affliction on you. In my loving kindness I am causing you to walk this path. In my loving kindness I have rebuked you, chastened you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And all of these things included in these words here: with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But all those words of his, what a word to draw a sinner when he says, come. What a truth to draw a sinner when the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and shows them to them. Oh, how those Israelites were drawn to that brazen serpent that was lifted up. And how Jeremiah and each of these who are loved of God with an everlasting love, God draws them. Jesus Christ draws the chosen race. The promises. Oh, in his loving kindness he promises to pardon all manner of sin. And how do these people come when they're drawn? With weeping and with supplications will I lead them. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I must leave the word. May the Lord bless you and me in meditation upon it. For his name's sake, amen.
The collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society, West Anglia Auxiliary. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn number 180. 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. That alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Hymn 180.
thank thee for that love, for every appearance of thine, and to thy people and to any of us. Lord, appear again, assuring us of thy everlasting love. Pardon everything thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. Grant us each safe journeys. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.